Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right. Welcome back to this week's podcast. And as always, I'm going to start with the reviewer of the week. This one is from LayLiz86. I hope I said that right. And she says, love this podcast. Still in preconception here, I stumbled upon this podcast when I started searching for meaningful and educational podcasts that fit my hopes and dreams for my first time pregnancy at 36. I love the content. I feel so informed and empowered to make all the decisions, prepare myself to be my healthiest self for me and my baby. I absolutely love that there's even episodes that help new dads. I can't wait to sign up for the birth course, and I love that they cover pregnancy, some preconception health, and birth stories. Determined to listen to every single episode, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for leaving that review, and I'm excited for you to listen to this episode today because I have two of your favorites, which is a dad that's going to be here to talk about birth and pregnancy, as well as a birth story. So listen in. This week's going to be really good. So to dive into that, I have with me Justina and Case, and they are My Essential Birth students. I'm going to let them introduce themselves just a little bit. She just had her baby a very tiny bit ago, and so everything is probably really fresh in her mind and also in dad's mind. And so without further ado, will you guys take a moment and introduce yourself? Tell us a little about your family and all that.
So my name's Justina. I am 25. I'll be 26 next week, actually. And I've been listening to the My Essential Birth since I found out I was pregnant, pretty much like the next day. I was a teacher. I taught through my entire pregnancy up until I was about 7 months. That was kind of difficult. I taught third grade. I am temporarily retired until my baby gets older. So yeah, that's about it for me.
And my name is Case. I'm originally from the Bahamas. I met Justina while in grad school here in Florida, and we got married. And now we have this bundle of joy. And I'm excited to say I've seen her through her journey of this whole pregnancy from My Essential Birth, from when she discovered it all the way until now. So I'm just really excited for the opportunity to speak about it.
That's awesome. Okay, you guys, tell me a little bit about your pregnancy then. Like, how did that go? Was there anything interesting or something that would be like listeners would be like, oh, like that sparks my interest or I can relate to this? Or was it just pretty easy going? Or what was your pregnancy like?
It was a pretty easy pregnancy. I got pregnant a lot quicker than I expected. I was tracking my ovulation and we had planned it, and it was literally like the second month of trying I was pregnant. I didn't expect it to happen that fast. So that was really cool. And then really the whole pregnancy was really easy. My first trimester, I was a little nauseous, but I never got sick. Just the basic pregnancy stuff. The only thing that got a little interesting was I tested positive for GBS. So I had to do a little bit of research on that and decide what I wanted to do as far as that went. And then also a few weeks before his due date, they decided that he was really small on his ultrasound. And so they wanted to induce me almost a month early. And I, because of the knowledge that I had, I knew that I didn't want to do that. So that's probably the most interesting things that happened as far as pregnancy. The rest of it was just really normal. And I was really late. He wasn't born until 2 weeks late. So
wow. So he would have been 6 weeks early.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Case, what was that like for you, like supporting her during that pregnancy? What did you do to support her? What did that look like?
So in the beginning, like I said, she did so much research and everything going into it. So just trying to be supportive, going through the birth course with her. At first, we were going to kind of, I guess, do it individually. but we just decided it'd probably be a good idea if we did it together, watched it together, spoke about it together, and just try to come alongside her through all of that. So it's more of a partnership. She just wasn't just doing it on her own. I wanted to be there with her every step of the way. And especially when things got hard, you know, when he was late, you know, and just trying my best to encourage her, keep her along, and, you know, helping her not to give up, because I could get discouraging, you know, working so hard to accomplish a goal and everything's starting to look a little different than you had planned, which is probably every pregnancy case, but right. Trying my best to encourage her along the way and, you know, be there with her, support her every step and just be more involved.
I think what helped us the most too throughout pregnancy and then going into labor is we communicated really well. So like I was always telling him like everything I was learning and what I wanted and like if something had changed. And then he would ask a lot of questions too, like, well, in this case scenario, what would you want to happen? So that we were prepared with pretty much anything that was thrown at us. We knew like what we wanted to happen and that he could like speak up for me if I couldn't speak for myself too. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, that was a big thing too. In some cases she was like, well, I don't want to ask this because I don't want him to think I'm being overbearing. And I was like, you know what? I'll be the ignorant, dumb dad. I'll ask any questions that you don't want to ask. So.
A little bit of good cop, bad cop. I like that. Okay, you mentioned there was a point there where your provider was saying, you know, we need to get this baby out a little bit early. They're measuring small, all that. Talk to me a little bit about your provider. What kind of provider did you choose? Were you giving birth at a hospital or at the home? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I did plan to give birth in the hospital. I looked at a couple different hospitals and I compared because I knew I wanted to go the natural route. So the first hospital that I looked at, they didn't have like the bathtubs. And they didn't have as much available as far as like tools you can use, like peanut balls and yoga balls and all that stuff. So I decided not to go with that hospital. The reason we wanted to do the hospital is just being our first birth, like just make sure everything's good. And I wasn't going to have any complications or anything like that. I do plan to do a birth center for the next one. But being in the hospital, we did do a regular OB. So I didn't interview a lot of OBs. I just kind of asked around with people that I know in the area, like who their OBs were and who they recommend. And I just went to a group. And the OB that I had, she was very nice. She wasn't necessarily pro unmedicated natural birth, but she wasn't against it either. My husband was actually just asking me yesterday, like, would I recommend her to somebody else who wanted to do what I did? And I was like, it depends on the person, because she's very much like, you just do whatever you want to do. Like, unless there's a problem, then I'll just let you do whatever you plan. But outside of that, like, she's not pushing you to do the natural route. So if everything that happened, especially with wanting to induce early, it was kind of like, well, I'm concerned about this. So what do you think? And I was like, well, I'm not really concerned about it. Like we did the biophysical profile and he scored an 8 out of 8 on that. It was perfect. Like heartbeat was perfect. My placenta was perfect. No, like no amniotic fluid was gone. The levels were perfect. So I was like, I see no danger in him staying where he is. So, and she was like, all right, that's fine by me if it's fine with you. So there wasn't a lot of pushback on it, but she wasn't necessarily encouraging towards unmedicated or natural either. So,
yeah, I like that, though, that you were able to have that communication and back and forth with her. And she did it in a respectful way. Like, this is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I recommend. What do you want to do? Like, so often we don't see that second part of that equation. And then to support that, like, oh, OK, that's what you want. OK, I'm not in love with it, but sure, we get to choose that. Yeah. And then you can come from a place of like, well, I must not be really harming my baby or myself here, because right. If it was this like emergent thing, there really wouldn't be a question. It's what do we need to do right now? So I love that. I love that you could have that communication like that.
And with his size too, the thing that was like less concerning to her was that he was proportionate. So typically if a baby's small, it's like their head is bigger than their body or vice versa. But because like everything was really proportionate, and then I continued having ultrasounds every week after they first recommended it, and he continued to grow every week. So it was
that's awesome.
He is still growing. So
yeah. All right, let's dive into your preparation, because moms have been asking like, what are these tangible tactical tools that I can start using right now that you felt were really good for you that I can do every day or every week or with my partner or by myself? Like, what are some of those things that you did to prepare your body and your mind for the experience of birth?
So I definitely did the 3 free exercises pretty much every day, especially the forward leaning version. I think that one I did more than anything because it really relieved back pressure too. So it felt really great when my back was hurting. That, and then I really think the mental game is more than anything. Like, you can prepare your body, but if your mindset is not there, then I feel like that's why it gets to be so hard for people, why they feel like they can't make it through their labor. So just having that mindset of like knowing that this is what I want to do and having faith in it. And that was probably the biggest thing for me, is my faith. I prayed about it a lot. I talked to God about it a lot. And I was just like 100% convinced, like, Jesus is going to get me through this. And there's not going to be any issues. There's not going to be any complications. And I think just having that mindset and having that faith is just, it made everything so smooth.
I love that you shared that. And I love that you did that. I'm sure, or maybe you've heard a little bit about my story, but it was like my third birth. I had like a really spiritual experience right at the end when I finally decided to like, I'm going to say a prayer because I'm in this place of desperation. And I kept thinking like, what, why didn't you do that like the whole time? Like, why weren't you trying to be connected the whole time? Because the second that prayer happened, it was like, yes, of course. I've just been waiting for you to ask. Let me help.
Yeah.
And it was really neat. It was something I totally cherish. But I love that you're like, no, from the beginning, this was, and you kind of mentioned that even when I asked you a little bit about your birth story, just this like faith that you pulled with you that whole way through. Is there anything you want to add or like say to other people about that? Because it just sounded like it was such a huge part of your entire experience.
Yeah, I mean, my faith is the most important thing to me, and Jesus has never failed me yet, so I wasn't concerned about that. And I knew that if something were to happen, like, it was all in God's hands anyways. So like, I was really, that made me confident in that as well, that like, although I do believe that everything's going to go smoothly, that if something doesn't, that that was God's plan anyways. So that mindset as well was like, nothing can really shake me. Like, I wasn't worried like, oh, if I have to get an emergency C-section, like, I had a backup plan for that. Like, no matter what happened, I had another course of action planned out. So, and then also too, throughout my whole labor, we had a playlist that we had created that was mostly like worship and praise music too. So it was like really peaceful and like helped me to relax as well. So
yeah, that's really neat. I just love that concept being brought into it, because I just think birth is like this beautiful, magical, spiritual thing. And, you know, whether you're religious or not, like, I think it's just this life changing, bringing a life into the world is like, you feel that, you feel your baby spirit, you feel like there's something more than just you there. And it's incredible. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, take me through, and for those that are listening and you're wondering why you haven't heard Case in a minute, he walked the baby out. So we plan to have him back in, and I want to hear from Dad too. But take me from that first contraction, like, what did birth look like for you all the way through to having your baby? And maybe I'll ask you now, or you can tell me like after you give birth in this story. But I'm curious, because they said, oh, your baby's measuring so small. I really want to know, like, born 2 weeks late, like, how big was your baby and what was the Apgar score like? And like all of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. So, like I said before, they wanted to induce me early. I was confident that I would actually give birth like at 38, 39 weeks, because I was doing all of the things, the dates, the raspberry leaf tea, the yoga, like everything you can possibly think of I was doing. Didn't happen. It was really defeating at first, because my family's from Michigan. I live in Florida. So they traveled all the way down. And then my husband's family is from the Bahamas, and they came up here. And it was like, everyone was here just waiting for this baby to come. They all stayed a week or two after his due date, and he still wasn't here yet. So it felt really defeating. He finally did come 13 days after his due date.
Love it.
But yeah, so the 12th of August, I had my last appointment. They were going to decide when they were going to induce, because I was at that 2 week mark and they weren't comfortable with me going past that. And I agreed to it. So the night before, I lost most of my mucus plug and then woke up the next morning and a lot more bloody show. And I was like, okay, like, this might really be happening. I ate a bowl of cereal that morning before my appointment, threw up the whole thing before we got there. So that was fun. And then, at the appointment, she checked me. She did a membrane sweep. And at this point, she had told me, like, of all the times she had checked me every week before, she was like, it was much easier this time. She said I was 4 centimeters, 80% of face. So she was like, I think this might happen today on its own. I don't think you're going to have to be induced. But we scheduled the induction anyway for the next day. And then my husband and I decided to go run a few errands just in case this did happen today. And we were even like trying to talk like, okay, because they were, I wanted to be induced in the morning if I had to be induced, so that I had all day to labor instead of to have to labor through the night and be exhausted and tired the whole time. But the hospital didn't have that available. Apparently you had to, they had to schedule it in, and they didn't have anything available to start in the morning. So I was going to go in at 1 a.m. So we were kind of trying to plan, like, should I sleep during the day so I can stay awake at night for the next couple of days, so that way I'm not exhausted when we go in. So we're trying to plan all that out. And after we finished running errands, was literally like an hour later, I started having contractions, and they weren't super intense. I'd been having like Braxton Hicks and contractions pretty much every evening for the last several weeks, but these ones I could tell were like a little stronger, and they were happening more consistently. Coming up to that point, all my contractions, it would be like 30 minutes and they would just go away completely. So this time it was like, okay, it's been like 2 hours and they're still coming every like 10, 12 minutes or so. So we had decided we were going to go home. We planned to like clean up the house. He was going to mow the lawn, and I was going to try to take a nap. And then, so I tried to take a nap, but that didn't really happen because every like 10 minutes I was having a really strong contraction. It was waking me up every time I started to doze off. So I was actually in the living room on the couch, and my husband heard me like groaning through contractions, and he actually thought it was our dog. So he came out to the living room and he was like, "Why is our dog making all of this noise?" And I'm like, "That's not the dog. It's me."
That's awesome.
So I told him, I was like, "I don't think we're going to have time to clean the house and mow because this is happening like today." So he got what he could done. I went and decided to take a shower because I wanted to like relax my body. I wanted to shave my legs one last time because I knew I wasn't going to feel like doing it anytime soon. That was difficult to do while in labor. At one point, my husband came in while I was taking a shower. He was like, "Are you sure this is the real thing? Like, how do we know for sure?" And like right as he asked me that, I went through a really strong contraction. I was like groaning through, and he's like, "Okay, yeah, I guess that's my answer." But yeah, so after that, I got ready, got everything ready to go. While I was getting ready, my husband was getting everything in the car. We already had our bags packed and ready to go. So he got everything in the car, and I decided I wanted to labor as long as possible at home because I didn't want to get there and be turned away. Or also the room that I was having, it's specifically designed for people who want to have an unmedicated birth. So if you come in and you're not at least 5 centimeters dilated, they won't let you have one of those rooms. So I was like, I am not wow. going there and then telling yeah. me I can't have one of those rooms. So stayed at home as long as possible. I sat on my yoga ball, sat on the couch in different positions. The only reason we actually left when we did is because I hadn't eaten anything all day because I just didn't feel like it. And I thought maybe I could keep a smoothie down because I was feeling kind of nauseous. So we wanted to stop at a Smoothie King on the way there. That did not stay down, by the way.
Oh, no.
So we got to the hospital, got checked into triage. And everything went pretty smoothly with that. They told me I'd be able to have a nesting room. I was 5 centimeters actually when we got there, which I thought I would be more because my contractions were coming every like 4 or 5 minutes and they were pretty strong. But so by the time we got to our room, they actually tried to put me in a different room without a bathtub. And I was like, no, I signed up for a bathtub. I want to labor in the bath. So we got moved. And then because I had the GBS, I had to be hooked up to the antibiotic. I looked at a couple other options, but with the hospital that we were at, there really wasn't anything else available. And I looked at the benefits and risks of just like going without or trying something else. And it was like, they kind of were just even out. So I decided to do the antibiotic. So I had the Heplock, got the antibiotic. It takes a half an hour to administer. So while that was going, they were doing all my vitals and hooking me up to all the, monitors. They were hooking me up to all the monitors and everything. And then after it was done, I asked to be hooked up to a wireless monitor, and they were like, "Oh," they were kind of surprised by that. I was like, "I don't want to be hooked up to cords. Like, I want to be able to move around. I feel so restrained. Like, I can't do this with all these cords," which I had already planned on doing the wireless monitoring prior. But so they went and got the stuff for it, and they were having a really hard time getting it going, like getting it calibrated so that it was like working with the computers and everything. And they ended up finding out they just didn't have something plugged in right. But a couple of times they were ready to give up. They were like, "Oh, this isn't going to work. I'm sorry. You're going to have to." I'm like, "No, I really want you to keep trying." And then it was literally just a silly mistake on their end. So once I got hooked up on that and the GBS medication was done, I got out of the bed and I tried a few different things that I thought I would like, and it was not comfortable. I tried sitting on the yoga ball and literally like within the first contraction, I was like, nope, that wasn't it. I tried like hands and knees over the yoga ball and just on the ground. That was okay. But not too long after, within about an hour, I decided to go get in the bathtub, and that was wonderful. I know you guys have said on your podcast before, like, nature's epidural, and it totally is. Like, I could still feel my contractions, but it was nowhere near the level of pain, and I was just so much more relaxed. So I stayed in the bath for about an hour or so. I changed positions several times while I was in there, but the water started to get cold and I didn't feel like emptying out the water and redoing it. So I was like, okay, we'll go to the shower now instead. Like, I still want to stay in the water. So by the time I got to the shower, my contractions were coming like every probably 2 or 3 minutes, and they were getting really strong. So I realized like standing was not really an option anymore because my knees were kind of giving out on me during contractions. So I was only in the shower for about 10 minutes before I went and got back in the bed. At this point, I had only been checked when I first came into triage and then right before I got in the bathtub. And before I got in the bathtub, I was still only 5 centimeters, but they said I was easily stretching to 6 or 7. So, but they said my bag of waters was bulging. So that was kind of just what we were waiting for. So I got back in the bed and I was on my knees over the back of the bed, leaning over the back of the bed. And that was amazing. Like, I wanted to stay in that position and push so badly. But when I asked to be checked, because I was starting to feel like I was getting closer, they couldn't check me in that position for whatever reason. She tried to, and she just couldn't. So I ended up having to lay on my back, which laying on your back in heavy labor is not fun at all. And I think I was still about 5 centimeters. So we tried a few different positions with the peanut ball and different things. And they were like, we're just really waiting for your water to break. Like, once your water breaks, I really think things are going to get going. So at that point, my whole labor, I had really been trying to just like relax my whole body and like moan through contractions, deep noises, like relax my face, relax my body. So when they told me that, I started bearing down more during contractions, like not quite pushing, but like really just trying to like bear down. And that's when my water broke. So it started leaking out. And then I started like feeling that pushing feeling. They switched me. My husband helped me switch over to the other side after using a peanut ball. And that's when I was going through transition, which I didn't realize it in the moment. But I started having contractions, literally like no break in between. I was miserable. And I was just like, I couldn't move anymore by myself at that point. I needed help changing to different positions. So I had my husband telling me like when contractions would reach their peak so that I would at least have the relief of knowing like I'm on the downside of this contraction. But when the nurses came to help me switch positions again, they checked me. And at that point, I was almost fully effaced and 8 centimeters. So they brought in the squat bar and I used the squat bar, like pushed against my knees and like holding onto it. And the pressure against my knees really helped with the counter pressure. And I told them, like, I'm pushing, like, this is happening. And they're like, no, don't push. Like, you're still a little bit of cervix in the way. We don't want you to tear. And I was like, this is happening. I'm sorry. I can't stop it. So they called the doctor and it was in the middle of the night at this point. It was like 3:15 or so in the morning. So they called the doctor to come in. She was going to be about 15 minutes away. And at that point, I was pushing so much that they were like, she needs to get here. Like, it's been 15 minutes. She said 15 minutes. Like, she's not going to be here when the baby's born. So when the doctor finally got there, I was still in that same position. And that's how I pushed. And I pushed for close to an hour, about 45 minutes. The nurses and doctor were all really impressed with how I was pushing. I had like chin down, you know, breathing deeply between contractions. Everything was good until right at the very end, my last two pushes, I tore. I had a periurethral tear. That was not fun. So the tear was right there next to my urethra, and I felt the tear. I definitely screamed through that part. The rest of the pushing point was like just like moaning, but I screeched a little when that happened. And then after he was born, after he came out, they put him on my chest, and he was like a little like nasally, I guess, that you could hear that there was a little bit of fluid in his airways. And they had tried using the little bulb to get it out and it just wasn't working. In the moment, I think just because of the excitement of everything, I didn't think about the Apgar score, which makes me so mad now, because I think his Apgar score was high enough that he could have stayed. Like, he was moving around, he was breathing, you could hear him breathing, like his color was fine, everything was really fine. It was just that noise. So they ended up taking it away from me. I tried to fight them on it, and they tried to give me a little guilt on it. Like, do you hear the way he's breathing? You need to let him us out. So that really frustrated me. But they didn't take him out of the room. They just took him. They had all the equipment to do it in the room. They just took him to the bed, and my husband went with them. So then during that time, they were stitching me up and doing the pushing at my belly, which was absolutely miserable. That was honestly worse than any point of labor or any point of pushing, was getting those stitches. And they gave me 2 lidocaine shots during that time, but it did nothing.
Do you think that's just because of where it was, the stitches were located?
I think it is. I think if the tear had been somewhere else, it wouldn't have been as bad. But being like right where it was in such a sensitive spot, I think is what made it so painful. And I also think if I had my baby on my chest, like that would have distracted me a little more. But like, that was all I could focus on. And then like panicking, like my baby got taken away from me. I'm thinking about my baby, and then this is happening to me. So yeah, that was a little rough, but they only had him for about 10 minutes or so. And then they brought him back to me, and I had him on my chest, skin to skin, for the next hour or so. And then dad took a turn for about 20 minutes after that. So he ended up being 7 pounds, 10 ounces when he was born. So definitely not teeny tiny like they thought he was going to be. He was very normal size. And I've come to find out too, because they were worried that he wasn't crying when he first came out. That's why they wanted to take him away. He's just not a baby that cries. Like the noises that he was making while on my chest, he still makes those noises today, like a month later. That's just, he's just not a very crying kind of baby. He only cries when he's hungry and when he needs to take a nap. He's not a fussy kind of baby. So I would have changed. That's pretty much the only thing I would have changed as far as my birth experience. The only thing that really surprised me, or I wasn't expecting, was the nausea. The whole labor experience, I was so nauseous, and I vomited the entire time. So I couldn't eat anything the whole time. That kind of made my energy less, even though I wanted to. Like, I brought snacks. I had planned to eat the whole time. But, like, I just kept having my husband kept having to hand me the vomit bags, and I was, like, shaking and cold and hot, and that part made it really difficult. I think it would have been really a pretty smooth, easy experience without that. But given the vomiting and the nausea, it really was pretty smooth.
So. That's really neat. As you're telling your story, I felt like I was relating to so many things. I too thought like I was going to go early with my third, and I was doing all the things and all that. Yeah. And we had people out early, and it didn't happen. And my baby was born late. Like there were a lot of similarities. I kind of love listening to it. But I love that it sounds like you were able to kind of stand up for yourself. You were given some free space to, you know, that freedom of movement. And even if you had to be a little adamant about the wireless monitors, that you were able to do that, and you got your birth tub. Like, I love that you were able to speak up for yourself and that those demands were met. So I think that's super awesome. I know Case isn't here, and we can bring him back in just a minute, but we talk about maybe how he helped support you through that labor experience that really stood out to you, that you're like, this is what he did so well, so that other women can hear that, and even other birth partners, and kind of take that on for themselves.
Yeah. So pretty much every contraction, it's funny, we go back now and I'm like, were you even there? Because I was just so in my own headspace. I was like, what were you even doing this whole time? But really through every contraction, he was like right there next to me, like rubbing my arm, rubbing my back, like, come on, baby, you got this. It's only one minute. You can do this. So he really like talked me through every contraction. And what was really special, so before the baby was born, probably about a month before he was born, my husband makes music. And so he, one, made a song for our baby. Aww. So I listened to that several times while in labor. And then he also made me like a mantra encouragement kind of thing. So it was like a 4-minute thing of basically like, your body can do this, your body is able, you've prepared for this, like take deep breaths, kind of just talking me through it. But it was a recorded version with like worship music playing in the background behind what he was saying. So when I was going through transition and a couple other difficult times throughout, like I would just put headphones in and listen to that. And it like really helped me through it, helped me like relax and calm down, breathe deeply. So that was huge. And then while I was pushing, he was really encouraging. I wasn't holding his hand or anything, so I was like gripping the handrails. But the whole time he was like, oh, like I can see his head. Because pretty much the whole time I was pushing, he was like right there. And my baby has a ton of hair. If you're in the Facebook group and you've seen my post, he's got a lot of hair. So like the whole time I was pushing, my husband kept saying like, I can see all of his hair, like reach down and touch it. You can touch, you can feel his hair. So that was like really encouraging and helped me to keep pushing through during that stage as well.
That's awesome. Were there things during labor and you're saying like, I didn't even know you were there kind of thing. Was he nearby? Did he have his hand on you? Was he whispering to you?
He was.
Yeah.
He was always nearby. So like in between contractions, he might kind of like scoot back and give me my space a little bit or like be on his phone or whatever. But every single time there was a contraction, he was like right there, right next to me, rubbing my shoulder, rubbing my back, just yeah.
All right, so I got to speak with Justina. She walked me through her entire birth experience, but I wanted to make sure and ask you because I think it's going to be so useful, especially for dads that are listening, but also moms to kind of hear dad's perspective. What was it or what happened during that labor process? Was there anything that stood out to you that you'd like to share with other people, like things that you noticed about your wife or about the process or that you were grateful to have had some knowledge about beforehand, before birth actually happened?
Yeah. One thing I would definitely say is I feel like it's kind of underrated how much the contractions are and how long they last for. Mm. Even throughout the whole process, I don't think I was as cognizant of knowing that that's how it was going to be. So just seeing her just for hours and hours in hours, I didn't think it lasted that long. so that was definitely something. Another thing that I would say definitely I feel like prepared us was knowing what we wanted to do and knowing what we didn't want to do. So, you know, through the birth course, it talks a lot about different things, whether it's shots or different things that could happen afterwards, whether it's how long you want to be hooked up, whether it's if you want to be free, be able to move around. Things that if we didn't take the course, we wouldn't have known anything about. We just would have gone with the flow with whatever the doctors would say and think, oh, that's the only option. But certain things we know, like, wait, no, we have an option on this. We can say, no, we don't want to do that. No, we want to do this. So I think definitely that knowledge helped us knowing that we had a choice. It wasn't just everything was mandatory. We have to do everything by the book, everything as they say. We had a choice in the matter, and that ultimately, I realized that the most important thing was making sure that she was comfortable, not necessarily, you know, myself, or not necessarily making it easier for the nurses. But the biggest thing was making sure that she was comfortable. So that was definitely something that I took notice of. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all women, because what I experienced was just, I could never. And that was just... A lot of guys get grossed out by it, and I think that's pretty fair. But I was just in awe of the entire situation. I was just in awe, even though it might have been at her expense. But I was just in awe at what the body was able to do, especially at the tail end of it, and just seeing a new life. I was just in awe of the whole thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It makes me wonder, were there specific things you talked about, like knowing some things and how to support her, for example, during the actual labor process? Were there things that you learned through the course or that kind of became this like natural thing for you to do while she was having contractions or in between contractions or just during that process at all? How did you find that you were able to support her? Was it talking to her, touching her? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, so definitely just kind of being present and touching her, rubbing her shoulders, holding her hands, giving the positive affirmations. But also, it was one thing that we talked about earlier too, before we went there. This is something that's mentioned in the course too, about, you know, you want to make sure that you're switching positions. So every so often, she charged me with being in charge of, okay, every 20 minutes, every 30 minutes, make sure you tell me to change positions. You know, make sure you tell me to do that. So I would try to keep that up to date. And also, we learned about, you know, how your facial expressions, you know, when you're having your contractions, how that can affect your whole body with being tense and everything. So she would be going through it, and I would try not to be annoying, but I would, you know, say, hey, lighten up, smile, like, not, you know, like, well, not smile, but just be a little less tense with them. And I would see her face just kind of ease up. I see her face just kind of ease. And then, you know, that would kind of make everything better. And even she asked me to, you know, look at the contractions on the screen and make sure I could see when they're coming down, let her know, like, okay, you're on the tail end of things now, you know, things are starting to calm down. And I know I told you when I first spoke to you, I had a picture of you on my phone, and it was at a moment where things was at its peak, and I just wanted to lighten the moment just a little bit, even if it was just a little smirk or something. So I put a picture of you in front of her. I said, "What would Steph do right now?" So a big part of it was the mental game. I know she was mentally prepared for it, but just encouraging her mentally, like, this is what you been preparing to do a natural birth. You don't want to take anything that's unnecessary. Just preparing her, like, you know, you got this. This is what you prepared for. This is what you studied for. This is what you listen to podcasts every single day for. This is why we went through the entire course for you to do it the way that your body was designed to do it. So just mentally building her up and being there with her, trying to be there and touch her pressure points on her backs and on her shoulder and the areas that I knew that she would find comfortable for her. Try to do that as much, even if she didn't notice it was happening, because it just seemed like she was in a trance. I felt like I was doing a lot, but you know, she hadn't even knew that I was there. But yeah.
No, that support is huge. I think, I mean, I can relate to this, that the difference between having people around you that are questioning if you can handle it versus telling you that you're doing great. It, and because of that mental game and how much you are in your head during that space, it makes the biggest difference to have that support. So you did a great job. That's, I mean, if I could shout it from the rooftops, I mean, this is what every husband, every birth partner should be doing, kind of exactly what you described. And knowing your wife, like, knowing what mom needs, like, you knew it was going to be more of a mental thing for her. You knew that the positive affirmations work. You knew that, you know, you were in charge of that, making sure the positions happened every 30 minutes, and then you did it. That makes, like, a huge, huge difference. So that's awesome.
I would say one more thing to add to that too. And I think important for guys to know, because we could maybe get offended in a situation because we could be doing something that we think is helpful when it's really not. So I knew I would kind of be in her face sometimes, you know, stroking her face and doing different things, but that's just not what she needed at the time. And she just told me, "I like what you're doing. You know, everything else is fine. But please don't touch my face." And so just even though you're trying, don't get offended by it. They're going through a lot in the moment. So I just took it and said, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna do that anymore." I'll just take a step back. So definitely don't get offended. Don't just be like, "I'm doing everything wrong." But just listen to her and try to adhere to what she needs.
Yeah, that's good, solid advice. That's very true. Okay, which kind of leads me to my last question. I love to ask moms and dads at the end here, if there's, like, one piece of advice you could give to moms or to dads, what would that be? People that are coming up to this right now.
I think my biggest advice would be to prepare yourself mentally, because you can prepare, and I've said this already, but you can prepare and prepare and prepare for your body. You can eat all of the things, you can do all the things, and things can still go wrong. But if you're in the right headspace, it just makes everything go so much smoother. Whether you're spiritual, and that means praying about it, or whether that's, like, meditating about it, whatever it is that you believe in, like, just preparing yourself mentally, I think, is the biggest thing that you can possibly do.
That's a very good question, because I think there's so many different things that I could say. But I would say definitely go into it being prepared for things to not go your way. So prepare for it as much as you can. Bring everything that you think will be necessary, because there was a lot of things we brought, whether it was snacks or even a fan, you know, having something that was there, whether it's a playlist of music that you want to have. Think about every possible scenario. Think about and everything that could go wrong, so that way when it happens, you're not too disappointed. You're able to easily adapt to it. So I would just say preparation for the moment, but also preparation for things not to go as you planned it. And I think just knowing that, so that way when things go sideways, it's not, "Oh, this is completely off the rails." It's like, "All right, let's just adapt to this, and let's keep moving forward. Let's remember everything we learned about this essential birth. Let's just make it happen."
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent advice. I definitely want to thank you and Justina for being vulnerable and willing to share both sides of everything that happened for you guys here on this podcast, because it's going to reach tens of hundreds of thousands of women. And that's a huge impact that you're able to have just by walking through that experience yourself and being willing to share it. So thank you so much for your time today and for your story. That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.